Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and local, and glad to have you with us. We'll be here every day this week, as always, at 11 a.m. here on the Big X Sports Radio. Pretty busy weekend, really, for this time of year. We had baseball semi-state on Saturday, live right here on the Big X. And also, a lot of basketball stuff going on this weekend. The Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, Friday night at Bellarmine, Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Summer league basketball continues. A lot of local teams, high school teams in action. In fact, Archie Miller team camp, at least the session one, he's going to have a session later in the summer, later in June, at Bloomington. So a lot of teams, including Silver Creek, New Albany, Providence, and others in action there this weekend. So a lot of stuff going on out there as we enter the summer months with school officially out now for everybody for the summer. Glad to have you with us today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We're going to talk about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games. Indiana boys dominated, absolutely dominated. I thought it would be close. Kentucky had size. Kentucky was boastful that this could be one of their better all-star teams in a number of years. And Indiana absolutely, basically from start to finish in both games, dismantled Kentucky over the weekend. The girls series, was much more competitive. Kentucky won the first game on Friday night, pulling away at the very end. Indiana won the second game Saturday in overtime. So we'll take a look at all of that coming up here in just a few moments as well. Also, some team camp stuff from Bloomington with Archie Miller's team camp. We'll talk about that over the weekend. And a big scholarship offer from Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek. If you haven't heard, he was offered while he was in Bloomington this weekend for the team camp playing with Silver Creek. So we'll chat some about that as well, and a very interesting piece, and I'm going to try to, at some point today, play this back for you, but a little clip that's been circulating on social media. It's an interview on Wish TV out of Indianapolis with Juwan Morgan, and this is just a small portion of the clip where he really talks some about playing with Romeo Langford as a freshman, how hard he went, just a lot about him. I think some interesting comments, so we'll try to squeeze that in at some point today. But I think for people that say Romeo didn't play hard or Romeo wasn't really hurt or, you know, whatever the excuses, the negative things that, you know, you hear or have heard, and we've all heard them from IU fans, especially the crazy IU fans. This is an interesting perspective from Juwan Morgan, the leader, the senior leader of the team last season, on what he had to have, what he had to say about playing with Romeo Langford and how he stacks up as one of the best as far as how hard he went and how into things he was every game. So I thought it was interesting. We'll work that in. I don't know that we'll get it in the first segment, but we will try to play that back for you today at some point on the program. I don't know that a lot of you have seen that. That's a look at what we'll do in segment one. Segment two, we'll have with us our regular guest on Monday, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk some IU basketball. We'll talk a little bit of recruiting with Zach, and we'll check in on some other things as well. Going to bring a little football up today with Zach when he's with us on the program. Also, later in the program, Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director, also an IHSA executive board member. He's with us. He was at the All-Star game on Saturday night. We'll talk about that and some other local topics as well with Chad when he joins us on the program today. That's the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana dominated Kentucky. I don't know any other way to say it, but dominated Kentucky Friday and Saturday night. As you would expect, Indiana Mr. Basketball, IU basketball signee Trace Jackson Davis with big performance. He had some sky slamming dunks and really just a solid, solid outpouring from many of the Indiana players as well in the two games on Saturday. Also, Armon Franklin, you know, he was solid all weekend long. And again, the best thing is everything I saw, the clips I saw, and I wasn't able to make the game on Saturday, but this is a team that played together. And I said that that's why the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series was still mattered and was still important, I feel like, to be around, is because the players play for something. They actually dig in on defense. It's actually something that they practice and work on and take some pride in, as opposed to just who can have the most dunks. Although Trace Jackson Davis did have some major dunks in the game last night, in the games this weekend. He had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks, 120-74 victory for Indiana for the sweep. And in fact, not only did Indiana dominate Kentucky, but these were two of the worst losses by the Kentucky teams in the series ever. That all the records and the scores are available in the program each year. You can go back and look at the history of this thing, which is another thing that makes it such a special series and something that really matters, is because of the deep history of the series between the two states, how many great players have played in the game, how many great success stories player-wise have come out of both states. But no question about it, Indiana absolutely just dominated, tore apart the Kentucky team over the weekend. It's great for Indiana. It's great for IU fans to see their players, their future players, play so well. But I don't know that it's good for the series and seeing things continue for the long term. Kentucky had gotten a little bit more competitive on the boys' side in recent years, but this was like a major step backwards as far as just absolutely getting throttled and never really being in the game against their Indiana counterpart. So big performances by Trace Jackson Davis, big performances by a number of the starting players, the top players, the Purdue commits as well. Jake LaRavia from Lawrence Central, who's going to play at Indiana State. He may have been the most surprising player of the weekend. A lot of people that have seen him knew he was good, knew he was a steal for Indiana State, but he had a great weekend with the Indiana All-Stars. Kobe Barnes, obviously, the local flavor in the game on the boys' side of things. He had two 7-8-point performances, I think, in both games Friday, and turned around with a very similar outing on Saturday. So with the minutes he got, he was solid. He played well. And finishes his high school career with two big wins over Kentucky on Friday and Saturday night. The team camp going on in Bloomington over the weekend, a little different format from what it's been. Normally it's been a big weekend, Saturday, Sunday, games all day Saturday, games a great portion of the day on Sunday. A little different this year. It's a day on Saturday, and then they're going to come back here next weekend with another Saturday of games, which will make up the Archie Miller team camp. We've talked that team camps are a great way to get players on your campus, to be able to interact with players, to be able to interact with high school coaches, to kind of specifically get teams on campus. Not that you would turn down anybody who wants to come play on your campus and get some summer games in, but specifically to get teams in that have prospects, whether you are actively recruiting some of their players, or even if it's just some young guys in the program that you want to get to know, you want to say hello to them, you want to have them on campus. Those are great reasons to have a team camp. Different schools do it different ways. I know Western Kentucky has a huge one that finished up later this past week, and it's a week-long deal. It's 3 or 4 days. The players stay the night. There's activities throughout the day in addition to games. There's a big tournament at the end. The players stay on campus and get to attend some other things and, you know, eat meals there and that sort of thing. Some don't choose to do it that way. They choose to do it more of a simple format where you're just there for a day or maybe 2 days, and it's in and out quicker type deal. That's the approach Indiana has taken. But Indiana did not have a team camp. I can't even recall maybe you got to go back to Kelvin Sampson's years when Indiana had high school teams on their campus in this format over the summer. So Archie Miller in his years there, that's one thing he's gotten off the ground. And not only has he gotten it off the ground, but he's been able to get some really good teams to come as well. And that happened on Saturday. Silver Creek was there. They were one of the teams that obviously had an IU target in Trey Kaufman. And after the game, after one of Silver Creek's three games, they went 2-1. Over the weekend, they defeated Monrovia and Gary West and lost one game as well on Saturday. But in addition to playing some games, Trey Kaufman, who will be a junior next year, was officially offered a scholarship by the IU coaches. So we knew he was a big target. We knew he was somebody that Indiana would be paying a lot of attention to over the next year or so, and that a scholarship offer was very possible with the way that he is, you know, transitioning into really an upperclassman. But I didn't know it would come this soon. Big scholarship offer from IU to a local player, Trey Kaufman, which is only going to intensify IU's presence here in far southern Indiana. And from all accounts, Trey Kaufman really likes Indiana. He's still pretty early in his recruiting, has a number of scholarship offers. That list is beginning to grow. Xavier offered a few weeks ago. It'll be interesting to see who else jumps on him over the next month or so, heading into the June and July recruiting periods when coaches will be able to be out on the road and actually watch players. But a big offer from him, and great to see Indiana, to be quite honest with you, offer another player from our immediate area in Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek. Also, over the weekend, Silver Creek baseball comes up short. We had the game live on the Big X Sports Radio. Heartbreaking deal for the Dragons. It was a 1-1 game in extra innings, and Edgewood able to walk it off with a 2-1 victory in the bottom of the ninth inning. And Silver Creek's great run that they've had in baseball comes to an end. They graduate a lot of key players. They still return some young talent, obviously, but graduate some key players, and we'll see what's next for them. Had they won the game, not only would Silver Creek had obviously advanced on to the state finals at Victory Field, but if they had won the game, they would have also bumped up to Class 4A in baseball because of points that you accumulate, the IHSA success factor formula, with them not winning the semi-state yesterday and making a return back to the 3A state championship game. They will not bump up to 4A. So that, in a sense, is a break for a different Silver Creek baseball team next year. But obviously they come up short, this year's group does, of a state championship appearance and perhaps the opportunity to play for a state championship as well. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk some basketball recruiting, and a little football as well. That's coming your way next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins me today. And each Monday as we talk the world of IU athletics, Zach is the IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games, Zach, over the weekend. Indiana with the big, big sweep of the series. I'm not sure anybody saw that coming. Kentucky had some height, some length, some talented players going to good colleges. They were kind of boastful that this might be one of their better all-star teams in a number of years, but instead Trace Jackson Davis, Armon Franklin, and a host of other players from Indiana that are going to go on to play a high major college basketball. They absolutely had their way with Kentucky Friday at Bellarmine, and it got no better Saturday as they cruised in Indianapolis as well.
That was an interesting senior team, and I got to watch them in the junior-senior game, and lots of mismatches there. I mean, if you talk about, you know, guys like Trace Jackson Davis, the ability to shoot for a player like Alex Hemingway or Brandon Newman. And then, I mean, just, I don't know how anybody matches up with DeJuan Jones. And I don't say that at all flippantly. I mean, he's just, you don't see, you understand certainly why Ohio State wants him to come play tackle or maybe guard. I'm not sure exactly where they see him, but to be that size and to have that level of you know, sort of footwork and that sort of body control and probably just quickness of thought too. I mean, I think sometimes when we see basketball players playing offensive line, we just think, oh, it's all footwork and all that, but it's also about the ability to kind of stay a step ahead with the way that you think about just this, you know, moving here as opposed to moving there and all that. I just think that that's, I don't know if it's like one of the better senior all-star teams from Indiana I've seen in a while, but I do think it struck me watching them against that junior team that, you know, very much I think was second best in terms of, you know, talent in some positions, but also knew this Indiana senior team very well. Watching them against that junior team, you felt like they just had too many matchup problems. I think it was a very well-balanced team, and probably also give some credit to Chris Byers for the way that he coached that team as well.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, yeah, a lot of talent. Sometime, I don't know that we spend enough time thinking or talking about the high school coaches that are selected to coach each state because of normally the success that they've had over their career or recently in high school basketball, but they're there for a reason as well because they've been recognized as somebody that's having success in the state. So therefore, when they enter this challenge, it's not like a normal team where you pretty much have a hierarchy and you have months to spend with the team for the starting lineup to work itself out and for playing time and positions and things like that to really kind of figure itself out in a sense. This is completely different. Everybody here can play. Everybody here is used to playing major minutes. Most players are used to being the leading scorer and in some cases scoring a number of points per game for their team. So I'm glad to hear you mention Chris Byers, a longtime high school coach. Of course, a lot of people still tie him to Bloomington South because he was there as an assistant and as a JV coach for so many years under J.R. Holmes. He finally made the jump to be a head coach and found great success at Warren Central and, of course, is going to be at Franklin Central next year for a new challenge. But that has to be a tough deal for Chris Byers last year, for Jim Shannon, and other coaches over the years that have taken on that honor role as Indiana All-Stars coach. Little pressure comes with it to figure out the playing time and, of course, pressure from your cohorts in the state to win the series.
It's interesting, too, and this is one of those things that's easy to say in hindsight, but, you know, sometimes hindsight is useful. I remember we talked to Trace Jackson Davis on the Wednesday night at Newcastle, the junior-senior game, and, you know, he more or less said that group had been kind of wanting to be a little bit loose, a little bit sort of fun, a little bit, you know, almost playing, I don't know, irresponsible is not the word, but you know, not worrying about being really rigid to fundamentals and different things like that through the junior-senior game. He said that they really talked about wanting to give fans kind of something to watch, something to cheer for. And it's just interesting that you hear that, and then he also says, but, you know, come Friday, it'll be all business. And again, I know it's an all-star game, so let's not kind of go overboard with anything. But it is interesting the degree to which, you know, all of a sudden, as soon as they want to, that team turns it on. That team goes from kind of, you know, I don't say happy-go-lucky, that's probably a little bit pejorative, but that team goes from being just sort of loose and kind of playing, you know, playing a little bit kind of off the cuff and not worrying so much about, you know, doing specifically, you know, filling specific roles and things like that, to when they say, all right, it is all business, it really does become all business very quickly. I mean, those obviously, you know, we kind of know how the whole series turned out now, but that Friday score in particular really caught my eye in terms of, you know, just how dominant this team was against the All-Stars down in Kentucky. It seems like when, and I know the series has become kind of one-sided in the recent past, but it always does kind of feel like the game in Kentucky is always really tight and competitive, and then, you know, sometimes the one in Indianapolis is not quite so much. But, I mean, they really turned that thing on starting on Friday night and just went from there.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, our guest, joining us on a Monday edition of the program. I know we talk a lot about Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin, but after this All-Star Series, any kind of final, and I know we'll talk about the roster for next year and how those guys are fitting in over the summer from what we can tell, but any kind of final close to their high school careers with is a guy that covers the team on a daily basis, that sees 95%, if not more, of IU's games live and in person each season. Any kind of final words on where you could see, how much you could see Trace Jackson Davis and Armon Franklin fitting into playing time and roles for next season?
Well, I mean, I think Trace Jackson Davis is going to play early and often, frankly. I mean, you know, it's interesting, and I'm kind of fascinated by the wider conversation around Indiana heading into next year, because we are in this kind of era where you don't tend to see a whole lot of, you know, sort of big man-centric basketball, but that's kind of all that's Indiana's sort of option for next year. I mean, that's where Indiana's matchup sort of advantages are going to be, is playing, you know, two bigs and a big wing like Justin Smith or kind of something like that. And I'm sure Indiana will go small sometimes, but, like, if you're talking about ways in which Indiana can kind of force teams to match up with them rather than the other way around, I mean, a really big one is going to be being willing to play big, being willing to, you know, go with two forwards in the center, go with Deron Davis and Trace Jackson Davis together at the same time, that kind of thing. And that's unusual. That's not really, I guess you'd say, the way of modern basketball, for lack of a better term, but it's probably the chance Indiana has. And so when you start watching Trace Jackson Davis in particular, and you start hearing him talk, you know, excitedly about the idea that this is what Indiana can be, this is what Indiana can do, you know, this is kind of the identity that Indiana really wants to sort of center its rotations around next year. I mean, I think that's going to be fascinating, frankly. As for Armon Franklin, I think, you know, it strikes me, talking to his high school coach, Jason Delaney, a couple times, including kind of in the build-up to the All-Star Series, you know, something that Delaney said to me then, and he said it to me around the time that Armon Franklin committed to, is, you know, he's a player, and you don't see a ton of these in high school, who he thinks anyway can get on the floor early with his defense. And I think it was interesting to see Franklin, even when he made some mistakes, you know, he was always engaged defensively. He was always kind of hustling back. He was, you know, I think there was one moment in particular in the junior senior game where he basically kind of threw a possession away, but then he immediately got it back by getting back down the floor and just cutting out like an outlet pass on a fast break. And so if he can be a little bit of that, we know how much Archie Miller values defense. We know how important perimeter defense is in particular. And it's not easy. I mean, listen, we've had so many conversations in the last couple of years about the difficulty of absorbing that pack line defense early on. But one way or the other, I think that from Indiana's perspective, if Armon Franklin can be ahead of his class defensively, and then maybe knock down some shots, because that's the age-old question with Indiana right now, then I think he's a guy who we could see pretty quickly.
We're talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, IU basketball. I do want to switch gears. We've talked IU baseball here in recent weeks, and I actually want to mention baseball as well before we conclude our conversation, but obviously we always hit basketball no matter what time of year it is, but football is something that, you know, it's time to start paying a little more attention to it. The season is next up for IU athletics, and there have been some recruiting momentum, it sure looks like, especially in the state, for Coach Allen. But I'm curious, and I get asked this question a lot, and because I'm so basketball-focused, I don't always have a good answer. But as you begin to think about the 2019 college football season, and as we begin to see some of the kick times for IU's games that have been released over the last few weeks, what is your early prognosis, your early thoughts on IU football and what they are capable of getting done here in a few months when that season gets underway?
It's interesting. A few of us around the beat usually get to sit down with Tom Allen after spring practice is over. That's just kind of the standard sort of way of doing things is you know, that he makes time for the beat guys just for kind of one-on-ones early May while his staff's out recruiting, that sort of thing. And one of the things he said that really stuck with me in that conversation, and it sounds simplistic, and I think that you probably get a lot of IU fans that would say, well, yeah, duh. But I do think it is really just, frankly, the case for Indiana this season is that the two things on his mind most were quarterback play, which I think has been good for Indiana, but maybe not quite good enough, you know, to sort of level the playing field when you're comparing IU, not just to the Michigans and the Ohio States, but even to, you know, Indiana's probably going to have to beat Northwestern this year to get to a bowl. Indiana could really stand to get a result at Nebraska if it's at all possible to get to a bowl, those kinds of things. Quarterback play is, again, good, but it's got to get better. And then the other big one is depth. And I think that Indiana's in a place now where it should be close, or at least closer, to having the kind of depth that it needs. Young depth, but guys still who played quite a bit in the last few years, or last couple years. So you're talking about maybe redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores, even redshirt juniors that are more experienced than their age. But depth, nonetheless. And how badly Indiana has just simply needed to be able to look at a fourth quarter against a Michigan State or against, a Penn State at home and say, our starters haven't played 15, 20, even 25 more snaps than their starters. How are we going to manage these last 15 minutes when we're behind behind that gauge so much? And I think that there's a lot of reason to believe, again, it'll be young depth, but Indiana will have depth, particularly defensively, where I think it was a really glaring miss last year. And Indiana certainly at least should have quarterback competition. Peyton Ramsey is the returning starter. Tom Allen's made that clear. He's also made it clear that Michael Penix and Jack Tuttle will have every chance to push him really hard in spring and fall, through the summer and then in fall camp. If Indiana can get those things right, I think that you could see them pushing for a bowl again this coming season. But those are both decent-sized ifs, and those are probably the two sort of most central off-season questions for Tom Allen and his staff, is whether or not they can, properly kind of solve those problems with the talent they've got on hand, a talent level that has undoubtedly increased in the last couple of years.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach, final question, final topic today. You had a really good piece that I think was heading into the regional weekend for IU baseball as they were prepared to come play at Louisville. We know how that turned out. Obviously, defeated in the first game against Illinois State, made their way back through the opposite side of the bracket to meet Louisville, and, of course, came up short in that game, although it got crazy at the end. But you wrote a story. Can IU break into college baseball's top tier? And again, we sure talk a lot more IU baseball over the last month or so than we do at any other portion of the year, at least on this program. And I think that's fair with IU fans of football and basketball. They pay more attention to the baseball team when there's success in the regular season and when the tournament, the NCAA tournament is near and it looks like Indiana's going to have a chance, especially when you've got a team that winds up as the Big Ten Conference champions as IU baseball did this season. But it kind of last night made me think of it. I saw you tweet about it today, but Michigan is headed to the College World Series in Omaha after beating number one UCLA in the Super Regional. Really exciting game last night. Michigan's success, a team that IU beat in a series late in the season to help them stay in the Big Ten race, and then, of course, closed out with a series win against Rutgers, while Michigan lost a game or two, which helped Indiana claim that regular season Big Ten title over the Wolverines. But seeing Michigan have that kind of success, get to the College World Series, it really, I think, is good for IU, and it's good for the Big Ten Conference, in a conference that is so good in basketball, women's basketball, not bad. Football, obviously, we know where the conference stands in that. But in baseball, you know, not a lot of year-in and year-out success when it comes to Super Regionals and the College World Series. So I think last night helps IU baseball because it helps the Big Ten Conference.
I mean, yeah, that's basically kind of what I was tweeting this morning, and when I was, and I said this in the, it's kind of just a tweet thread that I went on, but when I said this on Twitter, I said that basically I presented kind of this idea to a couple of guys at work. Aaron Fitt is one of the main writers at D1Baseball.com, and Joe Healy is one of the main writers covering colleges for Baseball America. And basically kind of just what I'd said was that, you know, do you think that a Gonzaga sort of model could work for IU? The idea being basically that IU would become such a dominant program in a conference that otherwise, and I think this is probably fair to characterize the West Coast this way, isn't terribly a lot to write home about, for lack of a better term. And basically, they both in different ways kind of said that they just didn't think that that would be good enough for, you know, that for IU to be elite or even borderline elite, the Big Ten needs to be strong, and that it would be really, really difficult for the conference to support a program of that stature without a strong conference, or at least a stronger conference around them. Now, listen, one College World Series appearance, it they're a little bit like unicorns. I remember talking to, I remember talking to Tracy Smith, and he said that it kind of made him chuckle after that 2013 run. He'd hear a lot of fans say, "Can't wait to go back to Omaha," and he'd say, "Like, I don't know if they appreciate how difficult this is. How hard it is, even for, I mean, look, UCLA, the number one overall seed, and loses to a Big Ten program in a Super Regional. It can be very, very difficult to replicate that feat over and over and over again. There's a reason that there are only a small number of programs that do it year in and year out. But if you're going to have a conference that can be serious about college baseball, it has to have essentially multiple schools that really prioritize it in that way. Indiana's there. I think Illinois is probably there. I think Michigan is very much kind of already there in terms of the resources it commits to baseball and the way that it sort of, you know, expects to succeed in that sport. And I think that the more you see conference teams making regionals, making super regionals, and then obviously even the odd College World Series appearance, it's easier to sell high-level recruits on the idea that, listen, you can come to the Big Ten, you will play a better brand of competition than the Big Ten's maybe ever seen in college baseball, which means you'll get better, which means, you know, all boats will rise. I think you saw a real surge in baseball after Indiana went to Omaha in 2013. I think you could see that again after this Michigan run in 2019 in the Big Ten. I think Indiana needs partners in the conference, essentially. And I think it has some. But the stronger those partners are, you know, the better off you are. And I think that it's if you play it right, and if Michigan capitalizes on this and the Big Ten, you know, sort of doubles down on baseball again, then you can wind up in a situation where this is very good for not just baseball in the Big Ten, but also potentially Indiana baseball.
Good stuff from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with us Mondays, talking IU basketball, a little football and baseball today. Good stuff, Zach. Thank you for the chat and the insight. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We're going to head to a really quick commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member, he joins us. We're going to talk more about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games from a perspective of the series moving forward and some other tidbits in Southern Indiana sports with Chad when we come back right here on a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Chad, all right, I get a picture over the weekend. You're courtside, and you've got your arm around, and he's got his arm around you. DeJuan Jones, the big man from Ben Davis, who is a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure I've never seen him on the football field in person, but he obviously is a big-time football player going to Ohio State, but a good basketball player as well. A lot of fun to watch how into the game he is and how hard as a big guy he works out on the court. But you're right there with him right before the tip-off, man. Down there low, right involved, Chad Gilbert, front and center, babe.
You know, that wasn't right before tip-off. That was as they broke the huddle. So it was good. I snatched him before he got on the forehead. Amy snapped a picture, and we were good to go. Good kid, athletic, strong. You know, he had a dunk at Bellarmine, had a dunk at Bankers Life. So, you know, and an athletic kid that can do a lot of things. He's somebody you're going to see on Sundays. But I had to get a picture with him. He's a big dude, you know. And when you get two big dudes like me and him together, you got to take a picture and relish that moment.
Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad, let's talk a little bit about the Indiana-Kentucky series. You've been involved in that series as a coach before. It's a series that to basketball people and to fans, I think, in the state, it still means a lot. I know the attendance, even on the Indianapolis side, wasn't what it has been, but still a series with a lot of history. And I don't know. I have a bad feeling, not that anything is going to come to an end for next year or anything, but Scott Chalk, the game director, who I think is a tremendous guy from the Kentucky side of things and is new and is trying to take over and make changes but still keep the history and the tradition of things. You know, he even said, hey, regardless what happens this weekend, we need to be competitive. You know, we don't need to get blown out. We think we got a pretty good boys team that can maybe win both games. Obviously, that did not happen. But I do think that when blowouts like this happen, as fun as it is as a resident of Indiana, as fun as it was for IU fans to see Trace Jackson Davis as Mr. Basketball and a future IU guy lead the way, probably not good for the future of the series overall when one state takes a beating as the boys did from Kentucky Friday and Saturday.
And it was a beating. Both games were just absolutely poundings. Not particularly interesting to watch, but it was interesting to watch the athleticism that goes on with it. Now, one of the things, you might correct me if I'm wrong on this, didn't Kentucky have a couple of kids out that should have been playing in that All-Star game?
Mr. Basketball was out. He had an injury that ended his high school season. I think it was an ACL, something related to that, and he is still out. But other than that, I'm not sure. David Johnson was kind of the next, I think, maybe even some would say, the most recognized and talented player on the roster in that game, but I don't know anyone else that was out.
Well, when you look at the series, I think the last two, 3 years that Indiana and Kentucky have split.
Yeah.
I know last year they split for sure. So it's not like it's just a dominance. This was a dominating performance. And one thing, the Kentucky coach was Boo Brewer, the old Louisville star.
Yeah.
Who's an outstanding coach, an outstanding athlete. And but one thing on Indiana side, Indiana takes that serious. And it would be good to have a great crowd at Bankers Life to get some more excitement on that involved. I don't know if the timing of it is right. You know, we're playing semi-state baseball that night. We're having softball state finals. I don't know what that is. Those are decisions that are higher up than me. And you got the guy at the wheel who is not going to fall asleep. Mike Broughton is going to make great decisions. I can't say enough good things about Coach Broughton. He is always a step ahead. And so I'm sure he's got some tweaks in his mind on what he'll want to do with the series. As far as the series go, one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to play Illinois, because if you're playing Chicago, you're going to see some guys. You don't want to play Ohio. I mean, you think of all those big, you know, you got Cleveland, you've got Columbus, Cincinnati. You know, there's players all over in those places. So those are places Michigan, I'm not sure you want to tangle with those guys. But with the Kentucky-Indiana rival, I think that rival is just a natural fit with each other. And so you don't want that to get away. Now, one thing that I can tell you is a Chris Byers coach team is a different team coached than anything that you're going against. I don't care if you're playing Chris Byers in Trivia Pursuit, Tiddlywinks, Checkers, Tic-Tac-Toe. He's going to be prepared, and Chris Byers is going to beat you. You know, that's one of the guys that I have a huge admiration for. He started off as a girls coach. He worked his way through, did up the ladder, and he's a basketball junkie. There's nothing he's ever seen that's going to faze him. The only thing that he's going to do is win, and his teams are going to be well-prepared and going against him. Just happens, Chris was coaching this All-Star game. You see what happens. So, you know, that plays in a big factor in it, and that's nothing to take away from Boo Brewer, because Boo Brewer is an outstanding basketball coach, outstanding basketball player. But Chris Byers is a breed of his own. You know, when that guy gets hold of a team, they play hard, and certainly Indiana did play hard.
Talking to Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. The All-Star festivities obviously bring together some of the state's best players. When you look at future Purdue guys, future IU guys, I know Indiana State had a couple players in the game. We know all about Kobe Barnes, but Jake LaRavia of Lawrence Central, I think he turned some heads this weekend. I think it's safe to say, no matter what the final score was or how many points Indiana won by, but the future of Indiana high school basketball players having good college careers, being a part of some meaningful teams in college basketball, I would think with what we've seen over the last week between the junior games and the scrimmage game on Wednesday night and the senior series on Friday and Saturday most recently, I've got to believe it's strong.
Oh, it is. You know, and it's set up. It's ready to reload every year because – I really think that it does mean something excuse me, for kids to be playing in the All-Star game. And there's some dudes, man. Indiana is loaded with some players. There's some guys coming up, and there always will be players. Indianapolis, the whole Indianapolis metro area, it's just a beast. It's a whole other level of talent and competition. And you get on the outskirts, guys that aren't afraid of competition. I mean, we've got big-time players in southern Indiana. You look at that sophomore class, Matt, that's going to be juniors. That is an extremely talented class. And that'll be a tough – whoever coaches that All-Star team is good. There could be a second team that might be the best competition for that team. But right now, like you said, it's in great hands. There's great players, and Indiana's in great shape to do a lot of damage in years to come.
Chad, I got to believe when you heard this weekend Trey Kaufman of Silver Creek picked up an IU scholarship offer as Silver Creek played in Archie Miller's team camp – probably no surprise. I think we all thought that was in motion, that would happen. But sometime Coach Miller's been a little bit more protective with how early he offers scholarships than Tom Crean or previous Indiana coaches. So to get an offer as a guy that just finished his sophomore year, I think underscores what the potential is, not only that we see, but D1 coaches like Archie Miller and his staff see that Trey Kaufman can be, and another reason to go ahead and get him that scholarship offer now as opposed to after the summer or into his junior season.
That's one of many, many scholarships that young man will receive. Outstanding player, huge upside. You know, if you look at his body, you look at where his hind end's up on his back, his legs, you know, they've just got legs that are high calves. He's got strong, broad shoulders. Great touch with the basketball, great shooter, great passer. He's got the total package, and he's someone that's only going to improve and get better, who plays extremely smart. He's got the physical and the mental things that it takes to play on that high level. And that's something that, you know, when you see that, you better try to get in the door as soon as you can, because guys like that, they don't come around often. And he's someone that I just think is going to continue to always get better each and every year, because I think he has that desire, that work ethic where, you know, he always knows that he's chasing somebody. And you get something like that, that means you're very, very special. With all that said, I think you'll see some more offers because of that sophomore class being very, very deep. That if someone – there's only going to be one Trey Kaufman that gets a scholarship. So there's going to be several schools that want him. And whatever school Trey decides he's going to go to, those other guys got to be ready for their next pick. And there's going to be a lot of good picks on that. So, you know, a lot of great basketball to come in Indiana. And like you said, it creates some excitement when Indiana colleges pick up Indiana kids.
Yeah, awesome to see. I think, again, everybody thought it would happen. He's sure trending to that direction. He just picked up an offer from Xavier. It's very likely. I mean, we know more scholarship offers are going to come probably sooner rather than later, especially after IU pops and offers him over the weekend. But going to be a lot of fun to follow. We have been blessed the last number of years to have just some unbelievable talent with players like Romeo Langford. And each senior class has had a handful to follow that have the opportunity to play D1 basketball. Trey Kaufman could be the next great one, really, from the area and probably the biggest attention getter since Romeo Langford, and just following on his heels by a number of seasons. Chad, a couple other quick things I want to get to before we get out of here. We kind of touched
on... Hey, Matt, real quick on that topic, real quick. One thing those kids all have in common, as you know, I think they're all great students and they're all great people. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, we want our son to be like. You know, we hope that they... have the build of a Romeo Langford or Trey Kaufman, but we want to make sure that they have the attitude, the work ethic, and the desire in the classroom, and just be good people like those, like the young men that we've had in Southern Indiana. So we're very fortunate to have those. Sorry to interrupt.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. And kind of changing gears a little bit, we didn't get to this last week, but wanted to. Ryan Miller is going to be the next head coach at Providence. He's already gotten busy with his team last week, getting the opportunity to have some practices and coach a couple summer league games. And I know what you and I and many others think about his abilities as a coach, specifically on the defensive end of the floor. He coached under Lou LaFay, and they had great success at Providence. And just a good guy. Glad to see him not only stay involved in the area's coaching scene, but get an opportunity to lead a program himself. And, of course, it's his alma mater, which I know makes it even more special for him and his family.
You and I are glad to see him back on the sideline. There are 22 other coaches on that schedule who are not glad to see him on the sideline. Ryan will work extremely hard. He will be prepared. He is someone who is a basketball junkie who will – you're not going to outwork him. You know, he's going to have his teams very well prepared. They're going to guard you. They're going to execute. They're not going to beat themselves. And like I said, he's going to work at it. He's got Lance Stemler, I saw, as associate head coach. Those two guys are going to work really well together, and they'll have some success at Providence. You know, we got Providence's coach, Sean Smith, over here, and lucky to have Sean back. Sean just left the office, and he didn't know we were on the radios Monday, so that's one strike against him on the prepared mark. He wasn't prepared to know you and I had a radio date on Monday.
Well, I don't think Sean's a big radio guy. I think he's so focused on X's and O's.
Sean is a worker. You can guarantee that. He's focused on X and O's. He had about 35 kids here this morning, and he's working extremely hard, and we are very lucky and very thankful to have him back in Charlestown.
Great stuff. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director, and an IHSA executive board member. I think we've got, Doug, how long we got here? We're getting close. 30 seconds. I got to let you go. I know there's some other things we want to get to, and we'll have some more time as we get into the slower summer months. But, Chad, thanks for the chat. We'll do it again next week.
Matt, I appreciate everything you do for Southern Indiana sports, and great job on the radio.
Thank you very much. Chad Gilbert with me. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday edition of the program. I'm back tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 11 o'clock, with full coverage of IU and Southern Indiana sports here on the Hoosier Report. Thanks for being with us. That's going to wrap things up today here on the Big X Sports Radio.